If you want to know if someone is serious about an agreement, they will put it in writing so that there's no misunderstanding. A few weeks ago, we sold our Pontiac Trans Am. Hallelujah. In selling it, we made sure we had a written agreement that they were taking it as is, so that there's no questions afterward. That the odometer miles are recorded there, so that there's no question about it, at the stated amount, so that there's no question about it. We put it in writing. Why? We have a problem, and it's a problem with remembering. Even if something's important, how many times have you known of something that was super important and you put it in the back of your mind and said, I'll not forget this, and you forgot? I think all of us have had that experience. Problems sometimes even remembering what was said yesterday. But not only that, even if we do remember, we have a problem doing what we're supposed to do. Typically, you'll hear somebody say, well, I forgot. Or here's another one. That's not what you said. You know, the children of Israel could never come to God and say, that's not what you said. Why? Because we have the written word of God. We have God's word in writing to us. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 24. In Exodus chapter 24, we see that God knew his people would do the same. They would not only forget what he said, they would neglect doing what they knew they were supposed to do. So let's read Exodus chapter 24 to start with. And he, that is God, said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Let's pray. Father, as we look into this passage tonight, Pray that you would speak to us through your written word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First, we must understand something as an introduction to this, that the Ten Commandments of Exodus chapter 20 were spoken by God directly to the people of Israel. We tend to think that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, spoke those to Moses, and then Moses came down and told the people. And where is it that you get that idea? I'll tell you where you get that idea. That idea is because you've watched television. And you've seen on television the one with Charlton Heston where he's up on the mountain and he, for the first time, brings down the tablets and he sees the people doing what they're doing and he breaks the tablets because they're worshiping the golden calf. That's why you believe that. In fact, you'd be surprised how much people today believe about the Bible because they saw a movie. And you may say, well, a movie's not going to affect me. I'm going to believe what God tells me in His Word. Did you know that there was recently, in fact, the article is February 13th, 2015, just about a month ago. There was an article in the New York Times, and they were critiquing movies today, talking about how people are influenced by what they see, even if what they see are not according to the facts. The title of this article, you can Google it, is this: Movie Facts Prevail. And they basically ask this question: can't we keep the film world separate from the real world? Unfortunately, the answer is no. Studies show that if you watch a film, even one concerning historical events about which you are informed, your beliefs may be reshaped by facts that are not factual. People have asked me before, what do you think about such and such? What about the movie Noah? Why do you think that Hollywood producers produced something like on Noah and put in there what they put in there? It's to influence people many times to get away. They know that you're going to remember what you see in that movie. Even if you're a believer and you know the Bible, they know they're going to color your thinking. And that's why they put things in there that you go, that's not true, but you know what's going to be sticking in the back of your mind? What you saw with your own eyes. And this article explains that. That's why a movie that was recently, even these documentaries that are on TV about the Bible, in many cases you'll believe what you saw rather than what God's Word says. I forget which one it was, but I was watching one and it showed the angels going to Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you think that they depicted them as crying out against the homosexual sin in Sodom and Gomorrah? Not at all. And then you wonder why people in our society don't understand that that's what that was all about. It's because their thinking is colored by what they saw in the movie. And so people tend to think that, well, the Ten Commandments of Exodus chapter 20 were spoken by God directly to Moses alone, and then Moses came down and told the people. So before we get into too much detail in chapter 24, I want to make sure we have our thinking corrected. Let's look at this. If I would just advance my slides when I'm supposed to, you wouldn't be confused. That's what I was just talking about, that article that appeared in the New York Times. If you would go back to Exodus chapter 19, and this thing's messing with me again, go back to Exodus 19, look at verse 25, you'll see that right before you get to Exodus chapter 20, obviously it's the verse right before where the Ten Commandments are given in chapter 20, read 19:25. And it says this: so Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. That's where Moses is during chapter 20, verses 1 to 20. Where is he? He's down with the people. Secondly, note Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I would really like you to turn there with me so that you get an understanding of this. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 10 to 13. Moses is recounting those days when they were at Mount Sinai or at Horeb. And he says this in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10. Specially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven with darkness, clouds and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you this covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. Here we see that the people heard God speak the 10 commandments. They heard his voice, but they did not see him. Exodus chapter 20, verse 19. Again, chapter 20 is the giving of the 10 commandments in verses 1 through 17. But now, as you can see up on the screen, we're going to go to verse 19. Chapter 20 is the giving of the 10 commandments, during which time Moses is at the base of the mountain with the people. And indeed, they are able to talk with Moses immediately after. Look at verse 19. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. What's been happening? They've been down at the base of the mountain with Moses, and God is speaking audibly to the people from the mount. And it strikes so much fear in them that they say, please, you tell us what God has to say to us. Please don't let God speak to us anymore. It was a very fearful thing. When you look at verse 18, it says the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. This is after they've heard the 10 commandments. So Moses, according to verse 19, must have been standing with them the whole time. Fourthly, back to Deuteronomy. We were in chapter 4. Go to chapter 5. Moses, in his summary in chapter 5 and verse 4, says this. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. Again, verse 22 of Deuteronomy chapter 5. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount, out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in 2 tables of stone, and delivered them unto me. God delivered to Moses the 2 tables of stone, but he spoke the words to the people. Now, note verses 23 to 26. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that ye came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and ye said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived? And they say this to Moses in verse 27. Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when ye spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. I want to emphasize, to whom did God speak the Ten Commandments directly? Right to the people. They heard him give the Ten Commandments. And then you see the heart of the Lord in Deuteronomy 5:29. Note what he says. Here's what God says. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. Why? That it might be well with them and with their children forever. Oh, that there were such an heart in them. God had spoken to all the people. It wasn't until later, if you go back with me to Exodus chapter 24, that in verse 12 we read that God wrote on two tables of stone what he had said to all the people. And he gave those two tablets to Moses. And you'll read in Exodus 24:18 that Moses was in the mount for 40 days and 40 nights. God then delivered these tablets, Deuteronomy 5:22, to Moses to take down. And when Moses came down with those tablets, what did he see? Worshipping the golden calf. Wait a second. Go back to Exodus 24. How can that be possible? Don't you see what the people said in 24:3? All the words which the Lord has said, we will. Oh, we'll do it. Hey, didn't they say in verse 7 of Exodus 24, please read out loud with me the last part of Exodus 24:7. All that the Lord has said, will we do and be obedient. Does not he say in those Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You shall not worship any idols and so forth. We know that. They knew that. And yet they did it anyway. After God had spoken to them directly, where was Moses during the whole time? Standing between the Lord and you, but at the base of the mountain. And so the people's response when they said, Moses, don't let God speak to us anymore. It is not in response to the Ten Commandments themselves, but in the giving of the Ten Commandments, because it was a fearful thing. An awesome thing. The awesome presence of God had an impact on these people. There's a lack of reverence today among non-Christians and professing Christians alike. Folks, God's presence is a fearful thing. Let us not be careless any more than these people when we come into the presence of the Lord. And any more than you would be reverent in coming into the presence of a famous person. Let's make sure that when we go into the presence of God, we do so fearfully. You know, I always appreciate it when somebody's called upon to pray. When perhaps they take just a moment to make sure everything's quiet. And then they pray as they lead others. To take a moment, you say, well, people are listening. Yes, but as you lead us into prayer, gentlemen, I'm talking to you because we have men lead in prayer here. When you're asked to pray, take just a moment. I'm not talking about 5 minutes. This is not to put the focus upon you, but to just take a moment before you address our God who sits upon the throne of the universe. And let's show our reverence to him. We read this in Hebrews 12:28-29, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. That doesn't mean we can't come boldly to the throne of grace. We can. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can. But let us do so reverently. These people knew what it was like to be in the presence of God. They heard his voice. And as we read his word, that's God's voice to us today. He does not speak to people audibly today. When somebody says, God spoke to me audibly, I know something's not right. God speaks to us through his word today. Well, after the Ten Commandments, in fear they pleaded with Moses to speak God's word to them. But as it says there in 20:19, but let not God speak with us lest we die. And so right after that, look at this, Exodus chapter 20. Notice, after they say that in verse 19, then you see in verse 21, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. So Moses ascends the mount in verse 21 to go up to God. Thereafter, the Lord speaks directly to Moses and tells him to tell the people, what he says in 21 to 23. And you'll notice what it says in 21:1. Now, these are the judgments which thou, Moses, shall set before them, the people. So the Ten Commandments are in Exodus chapter 20. The Ten Commandments are spoken directly to the people. The judgments are given in 21 to 23. Those are spoken to Moses to give to the people by their request. So, do we have that understanding? I want you to understand that as we go into this. The end of the giving of the judgments is chapter 23, verse 33. That's the last of them before we get into 24, obviously. And what does God say right there in 33? They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. And then he says to Moses what he says in chapter 24. So right before Moses descends to the people, God says what he says in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 24. Please stay with me on this. Moses comes down in verse 3 and told the people all the words of the Lord. Now, what words is Moses telling them? He is now telling them what God told him in chapters 21, 22, and 23, the judgments. They've already heard the Ten Commandments from God directly. So now we have the covenant that is given, or the ratification of the covenant in chapter 24. The terms of the covenant actually began in chapter 20, verse 1, with the giving of the Ten Commandments to all the people. So from verse 1 of chapter 20, beginning there, 126 verses in our Bibles, God gives the terms of the covenant. Here's what I want you to do. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not commit adultery, and so forth and so on. Some of those given directly to the people, some given to Moses to give to the people. Now we get to chapter 24, and in verses 6 and 7 is the ratification of this covenant. It's the ratification of what God has told the people. I want you, basically, to commit to what I've told you. And you'll see the process that Moses goes with. And this is a fitting conclusion to the giving of the covenant, because what was one of the last things God told the children of Israel through Moses in chapter 23, verse 32? Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. And then he makes a covenant with them in chapter 24. Here's the point, folks. A covenant with God makes a covenant with his enemies impossible. Do not make a covenant with these people. And what do you find the children of Israel doing? Making a covenant with the people, the enemies of God, and with their enemies. And we look at them and we say, what a bunch of stubborn, rebellious people. But before you say that too much, look at yourself. And look and see that we do the same thing. So we see here in chapter 24, the written word of God. God puts his word to man in writing. Moses writes the covenant in a book. That's what we see in verses 1 to 8. Then I'm going to give you point number 2, which we'll not get to tonight. But you'll see there that God writes the commandments in stone in verses 9 to 18. Let's look, first of all, at the fact that God writes the covenant in a book. And we see the mediator of the covenant in verses 1 to 2. We've already read those verses. But verses 1 and 2 go with verses 9 and following, but are written here to state the importance of Moses' authority from God. All but Moses, verse 2, were to be at a distance. Tremendous reverence. And even at that distance, what were these other people supposed to do? You'll notice that it says in verse 20 and verse 1, Moses, you come up to the Lord and the 70 elders of Israel and so forth and worship at what distance? Afar off. But then in verse 2, Moses alone shall come near the Lord. But everybody else, You worship at a distance. So Moses is instructed to bring up Aaron, his two oldest sons, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 elders. But according to verse 2, only Moses could come near the Lord. But there's two interesting names mentioned here. Nadab and Abihu. Two of Aaron's sons. Aaron's oldest sons. As you think through what you know in the Old Testament, what do you know about Nadab and Abihu? Well, if you would read later on in your Bibles, and I'm not going to tell you where yet because I want you to listen to me. If you were to read later on, you're going to find out that Nadab and Abihu are struck dead by God because they offered what the Bible calls strange fire. Now, I find that interesting that two men who were called of God to come and to worship Him afar off, closer than the other people, that they violate what God has commanded them. Two men who had great responsibility, and God has to strike them dead. By the way, that's found in Leviticus chapter 10, if you want to look at that later. Why is it that Nadab and Abihu did what they did in Leviticus chapter 10? Folks, even at their distance, I wonder if they became too familiar with God, where it overcame a righteous and reverent fear. And I wonder if sometimes we have believers who become too familiar with God. And I'm not saying that you're getting to know God well. I'm saying you begin so familiar with Him that He is no longer who the Bible states He is to you. He has become to you someone of your own imagination. And you are beginning to think things of God that are not scripturally true. What am I talking about? Where God is just a God of love, He's never a God of judgment. And that we begin to worship a God of our own thinking as Nadab and Abihu did. And when we lose the reverence, even if at one time in your life you had this reverential fear of God, where you would never do what you do now. I think the lesson's clear. It is possible for a believer at one point to be close to God and to come to the place where he thinks, I'm privileged. And I can do what I want because God has allowed me to come close to Him. And I find it interesting that Nadab and Abihu did that. They became ritualistic in what they believed. And yet Moses, a man who was even closer to God in distance for his entire life, revered God. Oh yes, did Moses make mistakes? Yeah, he did. He struck the rock when he should have spoken to it. But Moses kept that reverential fear of God. I want to challenge us that we keep that reverential fear when we come into the very presence of God. And that's why I say, gentlemen, when we lead in prayer, let's be careful of how we lead others into the presence of God. Take a moment before you pray when you're asked to lead in prayer. And let's realize, I am leading these people into the very presence of God. Oh, I can come boldly, but not because of anything I've done. I can come boldly because we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who is my mediator. Sometimes privilege leads to presumption due to pride. And that's what happened to Nadab and Abihu. You'll note in verses 3 to 8, that all the action is by Moses. That's why I call him the mediator of the covenant. You'll notice in verse 3, Moses came and told. You'll note in verse 4, Moses wrote. Moses built an altar. Moses had the 12 pillars built. Verse 5, Moses sends the men to make the offerings. Verses 6 to 8, Moses takes the blood. He takes the book. He reads the words. He sprinkles the book. Moses is the mediator of the covenant. But secondly, I want you to see the words of the covenant. First of all, Moses told the words. Notice in verse 3, Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord that he had just heard on the mount. They heard the Ten Commandments directly from God, but now what God has told Moses, Moses comes and he tells the people. He tells them chapters 21, 22, and 23. So the people were not ignorant. They weren't duped into this covenant. They had heard the Ten Commandments with the awesome and fear-provoking voice of God. The people hear the words of Moses that come from God, and the people agreed to all the words of the Lord that he had told Moses. Now Moses tells the people. Moses told the words. Moses, in verse 4, wrote the words. And it says later on that this is in a book. And then we see that Moses read the words that he had written. Moses takes the words that he had written, reads them out of the book where he had written them, and then in verse 7, the people agree to all the words of the Lord that Moses read. And then they add something in verse 7 that they didn't even say, or that wasn't even mentioned in verse 3. They say something in addition. Go back to verse 3. When Moses told them the words, they responded with one voice in unison, "All the words which the Lord has said will we do." Amen. Then in verse 7, after Moses had taken the words, he had already told them, he had written them, now he had read the words, notice their response, "All that the Lord has said will we do, and be obedient." It's almost like they're emphasizing, we will do what God has said. It's interesting how somebody can say with emphasis, "Believe me, I will do it." And then they turn around and don't. Lack of commitment. It's amazing how that we can be so emphatic with God, and we can maybe respond to an invitation and say, "Lord, I will do." And the next thing you know, people are going right back to what they were doing. And then you criticize these people? I think we see more of ourselves in the Old Testament than we would like to. They vowed before God to do all His words and be obedient. The Ten Commandments and His judgments, the preceding chapters, including the destruction of the inhabitants of the land that you see in chapter 23, verses 20 and following. Most of the problems, all the problems that the children of Israel faced were due to the fact that they didn't do what they said they would do. And so here Moses compiles the words in something called the Book of the Covenant. And folks, that's how we should view God's Word. It's His covenant with us. It's an agreement. Moses told, wrote, and read the words. There's the words of the covenant. And then we see the blood of the covenant in verses 6 to 8. Moses took half of the blood. You see in verse 5, they sacrificed oxen. And he takes half of the blood and he puts it in basins. In other words, he's got two basins. Half of the blood he puts in one basin, half of the blood he puts in another basin. And you see this covenant that's given in verses 6 to 8, a covenant is simply an agreement. And this is not the first time they agreed to God's covenant. Although they had not yet had the terms of the covenant in chapter 19. Think with me. Go back to chapter 19. Notice what they said in chapter 19 and verse 8. This is before they have the Ten Commandments directly from God and the judgments given to Moses to give to the people. Chapter 19, verse 8. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Before they even knew We trust you, God. Whatever you tell us, we're going to do it. He gives them the Ten Commandments in chapter 20. He gives them the judgments in 21, 22, and 23. And again, you get to chapter 24. Twice they say, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And be obedient. I tell you, these people are sincere. And you may be sincere. But let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. They had agreed to obey God's law earlier before it was given to them. They had agreed to do it based upon God's grace. Because you go back to chapter 19 and you look at verse 4. And are they getting what they deserve? Were they delivered out of Egypt because they deserved it? It's all due to God's grace. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings. That is simply God's grace. And we've looked at that already. They had agreed to do what God had said based upon God's grace. And by the way, we would covenant with God to do what He has, to obey Him based upon His grace to us. Here's the point, folks. Grace is not license. Grace, God's grace to a grateful heart means that I simply want to do what God wants me to do. God's purpose for them? What was God's purpose? He had a purpose. Look at chapter 19 and verse 4, the last part. And brought you unto myself. That's the same for the believer. Folks, we emphasize deliverance and then we emphasize the liberty that God gives us because He has saved us. But Christianity is not just about liberty. Christianity is about being brought to the Lord. Understanding that will temper our liberty from becoming license to thinking I can do as I please because of God's grace. God's delivering Israel did give them liberty, but please don't confuse that benefit with the purpose. The purpose was God's ownership. The basis of expecting obedience to His commands, as you will find in the Ten Commandments, especially when you see chapter 20 and verse 2. I am the Lord thy God, and He again repeats, I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And so forth in the Ten Commandments. Folks, the problem when, as a result of God's grace, a believer emphasizes Christian liberty over Christ owning me is something that we are facing today. A people whom God brings to Himself is a peculiar people. Remember, the people had agreed to all the words of the Lord that Moses told them. Verse 3. And then again, after he read the words in verse 7. And it's easy to agree with your mouth. Jesus said this. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in Luke 6:46, Jesus said to the people, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why do you call me Lord? And then turn around and don't even do. Obviously, I am not your Lord. You may call me Lord, but if you call me that and then don't do what I say, it's hypocrisy. Moses demonstrates the seriousness of their verbal assent, their profession, by doing what he does next. He kills and sacrifices some clean animals by the shedding of blood. By the way, a covenant must be accompanied by sacrifice. You'll read this in Psalm 50, verse 5. Gather my saints together to me, those that have made a covenant with me, by sacrifice. He takes the blood and he divides the blood into two basins. Then he takes the blood from one basin and he sprinkles the blood from that one basin on the altar. Are you there in Exodus chapter 24? Notice that he says this. It says this in verse 6. And half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. What does the altar represent? The altar represents God. But furthermore, and we don't learn this in the book of Exodus, we don't learn this until we get to the book of Hebrews, that the blood was not only sprinkled on the altar, later we're going to see it was also sprinkled on the people, but it was also sprinkled on something else. Go with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. The writer of Hebrews, and notice I always say the writer of Hebrews, normally I would say Paul says here, James says here, Jude says here. We don't know for sure who the writer of Hebrews is. I think it's the Apostle Paul, but I don't know that for sure. So I am just saying the writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 9:19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and the people. You know what this tells us? That when Moses in Exodus 24 sprinkles half of the blood on the altar, what's on the altar? The book is on the altar. So that he is sprinkling the book and the altar. Not only does the altar represent God, but the book represents what God has said to the people. And then if you're still there in Hebrews chapter 9, you're going to see that the writer of Hebrews even quotes what you find in Exodus 24, verse 20, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Go back to Exodus chapter 24. And you'll see it in verse 8. Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. So he sprinkles the blood from one basin on the altar and the book. Then he reads the book with the blood on it. To which the people again agree with force and be obedient. Then he sprinkles the blood from the other basin upon the people, probably upon the 12 pillars, because the 12 pillars erected in verse 4 were erected to represent the people. And while doing this, he says those words, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Words, singular or plural? Words, singular or plural? Plural. Folks, that tells me every word is important. This is a solemn ceremony to ratify the covenant. A formal sealing of their relationship to God. And God always remembers His covenants. We may forget, God always remembers. Let me just go through them real quick. His covenant with Noah before the flood. His covenant with Noah after the flood. His covenant with Abraham regarding the land. His covenant with Abraham regarding the seed. His covenant with Abraham's descendants. His covenant with Israel before the giving of the law. His covenant with Israel after the giving of the law. As we see here in Exodus chapter 24. You make a covenant with God. And it makes a covenant with His enemies. Impossible. If you keep the covenant. You got saved. He delivered you from sin. That's by God's grace. No merit of your own. Free from the law, oh happy condition. Sin all I want. That's not what the song says, but that's the way some people live it. Free from the law, oh happy condition. Jesus has bled, and there is remission. Not to do as I please, but now to do as God would have me to do, because I want to please Him. You see how the people treated the covenant. This was serious business. But in the succeeding chapters, you see how they broke it. And now as you read your Old Testaments, And you go to the books of Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, and all the way through. You go through the Old Testament, you're going to see how that we do the same things they did. So before we criticize them, let's do as Paul exhorts us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at them as an example. And say, God, by your grace, I will not do this, but take heed. You who think you stand, lest you also fall. It requires great humility. That's the humility that the meekest man on earth had. A man by the name of Moses. Father, I pray that each of us would be very careful to be reverent. As we come into your presence, we do so based upon what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. We thank you that you have given us your word. And may we live to please you, to walk in the light as Jesus Christ is in the light, yea, is the light. And with that, we can have fellowship one with another. May we take the example of these children of Israel and their sincerity, and so many of us are sincere. Lord, keep us from falling. May we be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.